And your argument is logical to various means, especially by giving us the help, Lord, the ability to come together, but above that, even the desire to come together to be with those who, of your word, want you to have your full right and way, Lord, in the meeting tonight. We ask you, therefore, Father, that you help us to that end, that your word may be sure to the people and not guesswork, nor to come to a place, Lord, where we presume, which we know, Lord, is to come into your presence and attempt to delineate upon something which we have no authority to delineate upon. We ask that you help us to this end and all things, O God, especially that as your word goes forth, we will give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, which was a week ago Sunday, we were looking at the thought that there is a teaching going around, it's spread around the world, it's everywhere, that the Holy Spirit is female, or at least a portion thereof is female. Now, we looked at that, and we're going to talk a little bit about it tonight before we go into something else that has bothered some people. And that is, there's absolutely no scripture anywhere that says the Holy Spirit is female or a portion thereof is female. That we can take nature that runs in continuity and go back to God to understand certain principles and things that God does and the way he does them is authenticated by the prophet who was himself authenticated, William Branham. But at no time did Brother Branham ever say that you could read nature and know from nature and work back to God and thereby know God. If there's anything in his message that hints that, it would have to be a slip of the tongue or something very grievous that came upon the man that wasn't the Spirit of God. Because that's one thing you cannot know, is to know God by the senses. You cannot reason from anything to understanding and having a concept of God. The actual fact of the matter is that revelation and reason, though they both start with the letter R, and secondly with the letter E, absolutely are antagonistic toward each other. You cannot receive a revelation by the mind. That is to say, the human mind, which is simply in tune with nature and has not already been flooded by the Holy Spirit. It is true that we receive the perfect mechanics, which is the perfect Word of God in a written form as we have it in our Bible. And without you having the perfect Word of God given to you by revelation, thereby giving you the perfect mechanics, there is no way that the Holy Spirit is going to fall upon it and then bring it to life and move through you and in you. It's utterly impossible. So if anybody tries to tell you then that you have to, that you are a mental person because you have a true mechanical revelation of that word, and you are not truly spirit-filled, that person is a liar. I repeat, that person is a liar. I want you to pay attention and look toward me when I say those things, because you will be trapped if you are so gullible and be suckered by such stupidity. Unless you have the perfect mechanics, the Spirit's not going to come upon it. Any more than if you didn't have representation back there, you ain't got it now. And the dove will not come upon a wolf. I got your attention. Thank you. Clubbing with the right purpose is not too dangerous. All right, look. You can't find one scripture that says that God is male or female in the sense of arguing from the human race being composed of males and females. That God is referred to as a male. It's sufficient to leave it exactly in that category. But you understand when you are dealing with the proposition of a male and you're dealing with God, you are dealing with life. L-I-F-E. And this life is a source. It's the fountain. It's the original. It is spirit. And you are not at all concerned as to the sexuality of the being in whom that life is. Now we know the male is a carrier of the life. It is not the woman. So therefore, how in the world would a woman be treated as anything but a son of God in the eyes and mind of Almighty God, except there's some deviation we don't understand, we wouldn't want it. Every child of God is a male. And if you think the bride is not entirely male, though feminine, as to appellation, then you haven't read your Bibles. Which we'll be glad to read shortly and prove to you exactly what is said. Now let's go to the scripture. And in doing so, we go back to Luke, the 20th chapter. And this is important that I repeat this because I want it understood where I am coming from. In Luke, the 20th chapter, 27 to 38, it tells you the Pharisees, the Sadducees, denied any resurrection. So they came to Jesus to trick him, saying, Master, in verse 28, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now that's no mystery right there. All God's got to do, because they're brothers, is to take the sperm, the seed of that brother, which is in the human life chain that came from the father, and he picks out the seed, which would be actually be that brother that died, bringing forth that one with whom he wanted fellowship. There's no big deal. There's billions of sperm there. But Brother Branham said the virgin birth is nothing alongside of an ordinary human birth, wherein God is marking all that life coming down through ages. And for years, everybody had the little old story, you know, congratulations, you won the first race you ever ran. And of course, they're talking of the sperm that gets to the egg first. Hogwash. Dozens get there first and flip right over. Dozens get there first and try to attach and they can't attach. Predestination. So, all right. There's your picture. Your brother could marry this widow and it would absolutely be his brother's children. That's not strange. That's mystery solved, simple as ABC. If you can't see that, stick around, you'll see a few things. Therefore, there were seven brethren. The first took a wife and died without children. The second took her to wife and he died childless. The third took her and the man of the seven also and left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. Now watch what Jesus said. The children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which are counted worthy to obtain the world, that world, that's God's own cosmos, his kingdom, even the resurrection from the dead, neither marry or are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are like unto the angels, not equal as though there's a status there. Why, they're way above angels. They're like unto the angels, even are the children of God, being children of the resurrection. Now watch, now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, when he calleth the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So what is he telling you? The life that came from before, that came from God, that's in you now, and you pass over, is the same life, and it has nothing to do with sex. As Brother Branham said, God will create again, but not by sex. And remember, he used the word create. In other words, literally bring from nothing. And then he used the word form in there. From the ashes and dust from the gases, he'll bring again from the cosmic light and the petroleum and the calcium and the various minerals and all of those things. And in the resurrection, bring back those same people. Now, Brother Branham, beyond the curtain of time, you could hug any woman without any sensation. Try to do it now and see what happens. In other words, we're looking at this thing the way it is. Now, let's go back to the Bible and see if Jesus miscued or we are miscuing. Well, of course, you know there's no such thing as miscuing. So we go to Genesis 1 and 27. So God created man in his own image. In his image. In the image of God created he him. All right. That's it. What has the next phrase got to do with it? It's another creation. So now it's male and female created he them. Now notice, it doesn't say, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, and God called Adam and said, be fruitful and multiply. He did not say that. No, sir. In other words, the original life was Adamic life. It's the original put in the man. Now, we know life is spirit. There's all kinds of spirits. There's all kinds of lives out there. So, all right, now it says, in the creation of male and female, and this is not an afterthought, any more than 2 and 7 is an afterthought, telling you how it's done. He blessed them, and he said, be fruitful. Now, the blessing was to be fruitful. In other words, they weren't to be alone. They were to become a tremendous family under God. Now, remember Brother Branham said, and this is not only concerning males. It cannot be just concerning males, though Brother Branham put it in that particular context, and if he meant it peculiar as males, then I agree with him, but I'm just trying to talk about it. He said, you were in your father, but your father did not know you. He could not have fellowship with you until in holy matrimony, through the bedding grounds of your mother, you came forth. Now, where were you? You're in your father. Where was Isaac? In the loins of Abraham. We're talking of sexual matters. Because there's no such thing as a birth without sex. You can put it in vitro, test tube, any way you want to do it. It's still got to come from a source of life, which is a human life. And the human life was in Adam. See? Now, all right, the next thing you find, that this very life itself goes into a branch. You follow what I'm saying? Adam was a male. And we're not even talking now in terms of male essentially, although he says him. We're talking of life. The male and the female literally come in there as a separate entity in the second phase. Right? That's the second phase is right. And he said here, in the second chapter, verse 7, and God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now it says in verse 6, there went a mist up from all the earth to water the whole face of the ground. See? So the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now you notice in here, it says the Lord God. What are you talking about here? You're not talking just about God now. You're talking about Lord God on the grounds that God himself is now the Lord of this man. Now, he's in the physical form. He wasn't called Lord God before. In the flesh, you see right away, he has a master. Oh, man likes to be independent. Every little kid, as soon as it's born, can walk around. Oh, independence is the key. Yeah, get hands off me, ma, pa. Let me walk. Flop, he goes in his face. He loves it. He'll be back on his feet. She'll be back on her feet. Don't worry. Brother Branham said the Holy Spirit was given today to lead us as was Adam could lead all the creatures and things back there. You know why? Because the Lord was his God. Everybody screams about, oh, you've got to make him master of all, or not at all. And they turn down the revealed word as brought by a vindicated prophet. They don't even know the meaning. Anybody can be a gas bag preacher, but it's pretty dangerous. Oh, yeah. You can just pick them on the ear now. Oh, God. Now, listen. Formed of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Even at this time, it's called him. Why? Because it's life. L-I-F-E. Not male life. Not female life. Life. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. Get your life strung around in a lot just like you. I'm going to tell you, you can do it because I've anointed you to that end. See where it's sunk. See where it's sunk. Now, notice in verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man. Why didn't he say them? He says them to begin with. Oh, come on. 1:27, and God created man in his own image. The image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We got a second word. Now, that's fine. Now it says over here, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, categorically, the breathing into his nostrils was God giving him the Holy Spirit. As Brother Branham made it very clear, this is no such thing as God simply breathing. Why, he said, if you believe that, that God was just simply a spirit like air, like wind, like these called, like he said, and after they call it a moya, which is the wind. And you'll call it in the Hebrew and the Greek, like nephesh and suke. See, one spirit and one soul. And it's like when you talk about a ghost or the nephesh in a frosty morning, you go, and you see your breath. The moisture distilling. Well, Brother Branham said, well, anybody breathing in is just breathing in God. He said, forget it. Well, you got pantheism, the crazy, my breathe in love, breathe out hate. Well, come on. Little psychology never really hurt anybody, but it's nuttier than a fruitcake. What's your lungs got to do with your soul? Except if your soul's gone, your lungs aren't going to breathe anymore. They'll collapse on you. Come on. Fruitcake religion is okay for the fruitcakes. And all that is going to happen, the squirrels will come right along and just pick the nuts out. He just, come on, listen, this is not some fake, foolish. The reason I say this is to get you to the place where you realize these things are ridiculous. They're insane. And better to laugh it off than to get mad. You know, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but the point is, look at the scripture here. In his nostrils he breathed the breath of life and man became a living soul. What is he trying to tell you? The guy already was. How can you be in the image of God which is a spirit being and not be living? Come on. So what? But he's in a human form now. And the literal translation is he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God's own life in the soul. Now transmitted through human instrumentality. And people think the souls are out there wandering around to get into you. They're transmitted through human life. As far as I can see and read what Brother Branham ever said, when do you ever say opposite? I can't find it say opposite. Always found him 100% with the Bible here. I don't care which translation you go to, how many words you look up. It always comes the same. Now, then he says here, and the Lord commanded the man in verse 16, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat it, for the day of the eating of dying thou to surely die. Now he believed that, but his wife didn't. Now you notice the command was not given to her, it was given to him. She was in him. And of course, when she was just in him, I don't think she remembered anything. Just like when we and our parents, my father, we didn't remember anything, and you're back there, you didn't remember anything either. We'll talk about that maybe. The Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. Well, I thought he wasn't alone. Well, he was, because the Bible said he was alone. So whatever this was didn't amount to much. And I mean that with my tongue in my cheek and yet with the proper emphasis. He knew he had her, but nobody else did. God knew he had her, but nobody else did outside of God. Well, you know what I mean. There's nobody else there to know, let's face it. That's what it says right here. He's alone. I'm going to make him one like him. What's he talking about? The body. Already the life is there. Spirit's there. Everything's there. And remember, the life was in him. The male is the carrier. And the woman came out of him. And that's where she got her life. The woman does not have life. Proven by the fact of the X and Y chromosome. Even shows up in biology. Physiology, call it what you want. See, oh, the scripture is beautiful here. And out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam. You see what he called them? And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was a name. And God gave the names of fowl of the air and the cattle and beast of the field and so on. But it said, for Adam there was not found an helpmeet. In other words, one just like him of his own generation, of his kind. What's he talking about? The flesh. And the complete unity of how he was to be and she was to be. Now we're looking at life. Now remember, multiplication did not take place until after they were in the body, and this is what caused the fall, which was the illicit intercourse. Now, the Lord God called a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, notice Lord God. Now, she is to have God as her head. Right. Brother Branham told you, marriage and divorce. But after she messed up, man became her head. And it's right in the scripture, 100%. But right here it says, Lord God, which means master. The one I worship is my master. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. If he's your master, you better hear from him. Huh? There better be some way to hear from him. There better be some way to worship him, or there's someone's going to be all messed up. So let's read a little more. And he closed, he took her rib, made him go to sleep. That's the first, Jesus, or God was the first anesthetist. First case of ether here, chloroform, so to speak. Proving you the doctor's on the right track when they put you to sleep. Yeah, took out one of the ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, see the Lord God, made he the woman, and brought her unto a man, to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she should be called woman because she was taken out of man. 100% correct. 100% correct. Now listen, there's no man to till the earth, and there's no woman to be one like unto him in order to be his complete companion, and in order to that he then could multiply himself or bring forth his life through her. Now that's what it's for. So you see, we're not dealing with male and female spirits in the sense that you are going to absolutely have a separation. It wasn't in the beginning, it's not at the end. And at the end it says, they are like unto the angels. And angels don't have human bodies. Whatever there is completely outside the realm of sex entirely. So I'm trying to show you here for people to begin putting emphasis on male and female. Far as I'm concerned, you're right out the window. Put the emphasis on life. And don't try to tell anybody there's a female part of the Holy Spirit comes down on the day of Pentecost. Especially when Jesus himself said, he said, we will come unto you. But when the comforters come, lead and teach into all truth, and a woman cannot handle the truth. I can understand that many people have a female Holy Ghost the way they react to the truth. There's somebody teaching them. And it isn't the male Holy Ghost. Well, come on. Gnosticism. After Isaiah 40, the voice thundered from heaven, shut up, you fool, I'm the one that made you. It was a woman. How many people are sticking with the truth? I want you to tell me one place where William Branham ever said what these guys are saying, or one place in the Scripture. Now, I'll challenge those men to show me I'm wrong. They can't do it. There's no way they can do it. Now, he said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh shall be called bone because you've taken out a man. Now, he said, therefore, now I want you to notice something here. This saying is attributed to Adam in Genesis, but Jesus did not attribute it to Adam. Certainly not. Because Adam did not have a word of his own. And fresh from the hand of God, he was the first prophet. He just spoke the word of God. Anybody just speaks the word of God and comes through him as a prophet. Now, he never got on the word the way down the line went, but don't you believe for 1 minute that God did not deal with this man, even though he's out of the Garden of Eden. Oh, yeah. How did Abel get his revelation except God dealing? So you see, we were meant to be a prophet class all the way up, where we could be led by the Holy Spirit. Just live that life by the life of God. Like Paul said, I live by the life. Not my own life, it's gone, but live by his life, and I do by the faith of him. He said, a man leave father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now notice in here, it didn't have to say this. You know why it didn't have to say the next verse they were both naked? Naturally they were both naked. And unless it was put in there, God made them some clothes or taught them how to do it, it's entirely irrelevant. Sure they were naked. But notice the next thing in there. They were not ashamed. See, in other words, it tells you here, the body being very smooth, there was an enticement toward the fact of that sensation that lay there. Absolutely right. Now, we go a little further, and you'll find over here, it says in verse 20, the third chapter, that Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living, and she still is. See? Now then you notice over here, again, it tells you that the two children, Cain and Abel, we just leave them, and we go on to the place where Abel is destroyed, and we find them that Adam has a wife, son by his wife, and his name is Seth. In other words, now Adam is reproducing himself. And you notice that you do not find girls mentioned in the Bible. Why? Because they're not the producers of life. They're merely the incubators. That's not being rough on the women. It's just, hey, my God, that's the truth. Women do not have X and Y chromosomes. That ought to tell you something. Women do not carry the life. The men are the carriers of the life, and the life is in the blood. And before it's over, you're going to find William Branham 100% exonerated on every single thing he said that refers to science. You'll find it, don't worry. Think God's some kind of a fool, doesn't even know his own universe? Then come down here and read hearts of men and predict the future word by word. Come on. This is what gives you confidence in God, where he is Lord. But the people want to be the Lord of some organization. Forget it. God's not organized. And yet he's the most organized one of us all. In other words, he keeps within himself, he keeps his Godhood. Okay. Over here, in the book of Matthew, the 19th chapter, which Brother Branham used when he was speaking on marriage and divorce, and the Pharisees also came in verse 3, tempting him and saying unto him, the same like the Sadducees, that's the Pharisees, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now you see, the Sadducees said, we don't believe in a resurrection, and come on, how are you going to talk us into it? What, here we got a case right here to stump you. See? Well, he wasn't stumped at all. Why? Now he said, Jesus, the Pharisees came along attempting to say, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? That's what Hillel said. Any cause at all. Maimonides said no. And he answered and said, have ye not read that? In other words, the Jews had a liberal branch and they had a conservative branch. You've got the conservative Christian and you've got the liberal Christian. Anything goes. Women can preach, cut your hair, live in adultery makes no problem, just as long as you're a nice guy. Yeah? They said one of these, who was the guy said, the poster said, he didn't say it. Nice guys, you know, finish last. Nice guys get finished off in the lake of fire. Because God only came to save sinners. So where's your nice guys? You know, their whole premise is entirely wrong. Have you not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female? In the beginning made them male and female. What's he talking about? Marriage and divorce. They were not male and female in the beginning as two separate individuals. Now, except Adam was put into two vessels, the life within him, which has come on down here today, male and female. How can a man divorce himself? Even if he commits suicide, he can't divorce himself because he's still himself. So what is this marriage and divorce all about? It's all about the fact that there's a male and a female. And the female got exactly out of order. Now, what's wrong with marrying and remarriage? Adultery, which is sex. So where did Eve mess up? She couldn't mess up with her own husband. She messed up with the other guy. The snaky fellow. The city slicker. That's the trouble right there. Where does it come from? Brother Branham said, there was one per each. And a man that really gets his right wife and his mate, there isn't any divorce because they're one. How do you divorce yourself? So you guys that aren't married, listen and smarten up what the prophet was teaching in marriage and divorce. It's a lifetime. Of course, you do have a note. If you got the wrong one here, you're stuck with her, but you can get the other, the right one in the other area. But you won't have sex with her. You'll just be compatible. To where, my heavens, you wouldn't want a divorce because there wouldn't be any reason. If each of you just get lovelier and lovelier because you're in the presence of the lovely one. 1,000 years. Of sanctification. Wives and children, the resurrection, really getting to know yourselves and each other. Blossoming. Fruitful boughs. No wonder they talked about the grapes of Escol. They're so big that it took a dozen guys to handle a few bunches. Oh, listen, if you think the message is good today, wait till you cross over where you really get a hold of it. Yeah, I hope you're beginning to see some things here. It's good for all of us. And he said, now listen. Have you not read? He that made them, in the beginning he made them female, and that one that made them said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Now it tells you right there, the separation of life into human bodies causes them to cleave together and become one flesh. Okay, let's check it out. I don't mind checking things out because it says one place one thing, it says the same thing another place. Well, my heavens, it's got to be the same thing. Okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13, meat's for the belly and belly for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now, he tells you right there in the beginning, it tells you the whole subject matter where it went haywire. She got fornicated. That's what entered. The body was for the Lord because the Lord God made the body. That's why the woman is a sacred vessel. And sexual intercourse in marriage is a righteous act. That should take the guilt off you if you're married legally and lawfully. Everything you know about sex is rotten. Everything you know is makes you feel bad, although you like, it makes you feel good, too, so therefore you got a mixed career. Huh? God help us. When are we going to believe the Bible? I know there's warrings within our members, and it is hell on earth. And hell was made for the devil and his angels, not for you and me. We'll talk about that, too, maybe. I don't know. We'll get to it. But for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. It tells you that's the beginning of it. As Brother Branham said, God had it arranged that they didn't multiply by sex. It tells you. Huh? Come on. The dust, whatever it is. But they went to the fornication and broke into the laws of nature. And it's still true. The Lord is for the body and the body for the Lord, because every son of Adam is redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, though it be wise or foolish. Virgin. Yeah. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all are made alive. Well, let's go a little further. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? The Lord God. My body is not my own. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. Now that, of course, has a spiritual connotation and reference in the sense of organization, as Brother Branham used in the Invisible Union of the End Time when he preached in 1965 down in Shreveport. And he brought Romans 7, the man must be dead before the woman can marry again, or she is in adultery. How are you going to be in the spotless bride of the Jesus Christ and still an organization when he says, come out of her, my people, and be a separate, saith the Lord God? Call you these sons and daughters. He's speaking there of the sexual term now. But you get a little further, you're going to find every single one was a son. Why? Because that's life. It's not sexuality. It is life. Then if you want it more abundantly, what kind of life is going to come upon you? The same life, which is designated, and it's called male. But don't get egotistical over being male. You've got a male chauvinistic pig. And God doesn't have pigs, he's got sheep. But he doesn't have harlots either. I'm talking to women now, too, just as stern as to men. Now listen. What? Know ye not that that which is joined to an harlot is one body, and two saith he should be one flesh? There again you're talking. We're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. No way can you be joined
And no way will Jesus join himself to that person. There is no way. You must come without the camp and suffer without the camp. You got to quit all of these things you're into. But listen, he's talking now physical fornication. For he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now he says here, know ye not that you join the heart as one body? For two, says he, shall be one flesh. That takes you right back to the Garden of Eden. So what are we talking about? We're still talking about this life that's in the male and the female for multiplication. See, even God can come forth and be manifested amongst the people by this extraneous method which they fell into when the body was for the Lord, because the Lord was for the body. Now, if your son is in you and you want to bring him forth by holy matrimony, then you are for him. And he being an obedient son is for you. But notice how the neighbors and school teachers and all the rest of the muck and the crap in the world want to take your sons from you. And some of you kids are happy to be taken from your birthright. Well, I got news for you. You'll pay for it. Say, Brother Bill, be sweet and nice. Oh, come on. Don't give me that hogwash. You've been sweet and nice. People have treated you like $1 billion, some of you. And you still stick your nose up and want to run like animals. Don't tell me. I'm not stupid. One of the smartest guys in this ministry, Bob, right, sitting right there. He can smell this stuff out a mile down the road. Don't forever fool with him, I can tell you right now. He can see far past your eyes. That's what an elder's for in the church. He, a blameless man as a man, as a boxer, can parry the blows. Get you down the road safely. So I don't let come from this God run my own way. See? Lord God. Not God, Lord God. God's my master. What does my master want? I'm going to be led around by the nose. Certainly not by the soul where the glory is. Yeah, why do you think that little saying came in the last day? When it says, love is never having to say you're sorry. That's the love of God that made every protection. We don't have to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry I botched this thing up. Not that we won't. But it should get less and less and better all the time. Boy, there goes our time right down the drain. Okay. We read it. No, we haven't yet. Flee fornication. Now listen, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sins against his own body. Where did sin first enter in? It tells you right here. She said, the devil seduced me, the serpent. This handsome, rugged, giant fella. Oh, I could say some things Brother Branham said, but even... I'm going to not shock you tonight. I'll just lay off. Every sin that a man does is of the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Then certainly God breathed into Adam the breath of life which was the Holy Ghost, which gave him the ability to bring forth the life of God in people. Oh, think what Adam and Eve had at their disposal. Of course, Brother Branham said they'd come to it in due time. God, listen, hey, we're just trying to show you from Omega what was in the beginning in the whole plan of God coming together, the salient factors and doctrine therein, and helping you so that you won't be misled with these little titillating things. What will little female Holy Spirit do for you? Well, she ought to lead you right into seduction of some kind. Second Corinthians, the 11th chapter. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. If I espouse you to one husband, I present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. You never had a man, But I fear lest by any means a serpent beguile thee through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupt, especially as in Christ. What would a woman do to you? Open your wide for seduction. Oh, man, I don't know where these guys are coming from. Forget it. Okay. We pretty well covered this. So, Eve was given to Adam to reproduce himself. Just as God gave Adam to him to reproduce himself. So now we have the life coming down to the very end. Now, let me show you. In the book of Hebrews, what we were talking about. And it's the second chapter. Now, notice how we go right beyond the sex. And it says in verse 9, Hebrews 2, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, just the same as you and I, passed our theophonic form, in order that we could be in a body of flesh to be tempted. He was on all points tempted exactly as we are. But remember, he had that memory. Brother Branham came back from his vision beyond the curtain of time. He said, I'll never be that person again I was before I got there. How could he be? So that's why Jesus could conquer everything. He says... How does he put it? Hold your finger there. When I want to quote, I usually end up by not quoting, so I'll just read it. Let this mind be in you, Philippians 2nd chapter 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained equal with God. He was. What did he do? He set it aside. But he made himself of no reputation. What is reputation? Reputation is actually almost synonymous with glory. Because glory is that which is exhibited according to what lies there, and in comparison, nothing can touch it. And when you're equaled with God, what more do you want? Satan at one time was equal with God. Brother Branham said so. Led into worship with Michael. Now, he said he became of no reputation. Didn't say no character, he said no reputation. See? His reputation, of course, was solid on character. He was great. And took upon the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death. Now, what does it say over in Hebrews? We see Jesus, made a little lower than the angel for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should take death for a man. Now, this one that was crowned with glory and honor, absolutely manifest, he came right down here and took her place. Now listen, for it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one source, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, but he sure won't call them sisters, because he ain't nothing from nowhere pooey on them. Now, do you believe I read that right? Hogwash. Every single child of God is called a son. Because that's what Brother said. Brother Branham said, you were in your father and he wanted fellowship with you. And it starts out with the only begotten one of a kind son. Then it goes on down through Adam. And you know what? He's going to turn every one of us into the likeness of the only begotten kind. And you won't have to worry about sisters or brothers. Children of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. There won't be one scintilla of this thing called sex. Because I'm going to tell you something. If my spirit and your spirit was liberated in this building, like Brother Branham has seen the spirits, and he called the woman's spirit back. Now we're talking in terms not of that spirit out there that God allowed. I better go back to that too. But I'm sure he wouldn't designate and say, well, that was a male spirit and that was a female spirit just went out that door. Because what good would it be to be female and male spirit? They can't breed anyway. That's the crap they tried to say about the angels came down and pressed themselves in human form and got in bed with women. They had sons that produced great big giants. And there's books written on hogwash, folly, a lie of the devil. And don't you ever be kidded that you can't be fooled by the devil. I remember years ago when I was reading a certain article in the magazine which dealt with seances. Well, it really was, but they pretend it wasn't. It's supposed to be some Christian man, but he wasn't. It was spiritism. And in there, told something I wish I could remember, give it word by word. And you know what? It sounded so good, I said, that's the way it is. Brother Branham came and blew it plumb out of the water. So I said, this is the way it is. You can get fooled. Listen, I want to tell you, if you got a head cheese on you, the mice will come and fill it full of holes. I just sort of ease you up a bit. Don't worry, I'll be back with the club. It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. In bringing many sons into glory, it tells you right there. Doesn't say one thing about male and female, it calls it male. And this again is not to make the male anybody. But to make you understand life is life. I go out here and I see a herd of kine out there. And I don't say, well, that's a bull life and that's a cow life. And I see a horse and I say, no, that is a stallion life and that is a mare life. I say, those are horses. And I can only tell which is which by the appurtenances which are sexual. In the resurrection ain't so. Now, if we were to be in the garden and bypass sex and bring forth those children, then go right to the tree of life when that time is expended, don't you begin to tell me one thing about sexuality because it ain't there. The only thing is there for complementary. And of course, the fall was there. Otherwise, how in the world would God have ever been a Savior indeed if He was a Savior and nobody needed saving? We're in a depression today. Is anybody here as a highly skilled technician in atomic energy? They don't need you anymore. What's it feel like to sit here and be useless? You see what I mean? Come on. You can take this upside down inside that and come right back to it. 100% true. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. You, there's no women there. You know what? There's, the women are foolish virgins. That's right. The whole bunch are foolish virgins. You girls go on home. Won't bother washing feet, taking in. You ain't got no part in this. Hey, you see where you go when you get ridiculous? Nobody's saying there aren't men and there aren't women. Nobody's saying that Brother Branham's a liar when he said he took the female out from the male part because it was there. But what does he talk about that female spirit? See, what did it bring forth? See, he said in nature, he said the little hen is brown colored and the male's got the big gorgeous plume. He said there's only one female that we know in all history amongst the birds. That's beautiful looking and superior to the male, and she kicks the male out and says, you sit on the eggs and I'll go out there and have a ball. Yeah. He tells you about it. She's up there running around, you know, cuckooing, and he's sitting, poor old boy down here. He tells you. That what the female spirit is definitely put in that type of body with the proper organs whereby she can bear. And he said, he talked about men with little quivery voices and the way their hips go a certain way and the way they always wanted to do it with things that women do. Sheesh kebab. Now that's my understanding. I do not say for one minute that Brother Branham's incorrect. He is absolutely right. He took the female spirit off from the male because they were both there in the beginning as God stepped the man down into a double. But in the beginning it was Adam, then male and female. That even shows the very fact that that female spirit in there, having been a step down from the original, no wonder she fell. Because the next thing now it's in the flesh. And she's wide open to it. But that doesn't mean anything. Look, the point is, that's the way it had to be. A woman is just as valuable in the sight of God as anybody. And let me tell you flat, without Sarah, there would not have been an Isaac. Man, without the beautiful Rebekah, there would not have been a Jacob, even though there was an Esau. But there again, you see the twins. You just see the two vines coming. You see the Word of God and the false Word of God. All of these things. So I cannot believe for one minute that anybody, because of Brother Branham's statements on dividing the male from the female, or the female from the male, can turn right around and say, okay, there's a portion of the Holy Ghost that's female. I cannot buy it. For the Holy Spirit to come back as a female, if you're going to carry the thing all the way through, you're admitting that a woman can make a man pregnant. You're admitting that a woman can bring forth the Son of God, which is a lie. The church can't do it. It's only a true bride composed of sons. No way, shape, and form can I buy their stuff. And I'm not even in a very expansive mood for being in a place of revelation. I'm just looking at this thing the way that what the prophet said. All right. The next thing, how many minutes we got? 20? That's a long, not much time left. Well, I'm not going to start 45 minutes on 20, because the point is you would then find yourself in a bad shape tomorrow morning. Or I would find myself in a bad shape by repeating. You'd find yourself in better shape by repetition. Like you get a lot more out of this than you got 2 weeks ago, for the very reason that we're repeating and bringing out some, maybe bringing out some more importance highlights on this. But as I say, there's no scripture and no place that I have anything at all to tell you anywhere that the Word of God or Brother Branham indicates that the Holy Spirit has a female portion part, or is female. None whatever. It is said by those people in Pentecost, and I read it years ago. They said that the Holy Spirit is definitely the feminine gender, just like, you know, you're looking at the Greek, you're looking at Latin. You look at the word light in Latin, it's lux lucis, or lux lucis, however you want to put that. So that's what they call an I root in there. And so if you want to know all the I roots, you memorize them. Lux lucis, feminine light. Laps, lapidus, neuter, stone. See? Okay. If you have a language that is bent around the male, the female, and the neuter, hey, you can have real trouble. But the Greek isn't that way, to my knowledge. I've never found any scholar say it was. So there isn't any feminine Holy Spirit. There's no appellation. Now, and even if there were, let's go a little further. Elohim in the Hebrew is supposed to be 100% plural. Divine manifested vindication. Revealed word, truth. There's one God, period. So I don't understand anybody's going to look at human structure and look this way and that way and then try to tell you, hey, Brother Branham said this about the male and female receptors, now we're going to separate the Holy Ghost. I showed you. He made him, then them. Simple as ABC in my books. Anyway, that's the way I see the Word of God. We're going to go now to the book of John. The 13th chapter, and the 4-foot washing union, and you will notice we have a nice curtain hung in the foyer, and there'll be chairs out there so that as the ladies can go right to the foot washing, so can the men. As the women go through the two swinging doors to the foot washing, the men will go to their right, and then when they're in there, they can pull the curtain, and there'll be, you can maybe take, 30 people are one crack in there. Well, up here we'll be able to even out the foot washing service and make it much better for everybody. And remember again, when you go up, there's one brother with the bread, but there's two lines for the cup of wine. So remember to split. Just watch carefully what line is here, and you come down. We start from the back there, come all the way down, then down at the back, starts all the way. When this is finished, then starts there. We end up on the right-hand side. And you go out that door, and women instantly go to the foot washing. The tubs are there. Men to the right, and everything is just fine. If we're, you know, after years, you finally realize the old Dutch saying was true. Too late, what is it? Too late, we're smart. Too soon we're old, and too late we're smart. Anyway, things are getting much better as far as our disciplines are concerned, and that's very important. All right, it says in the 13th chapter, now before the feast of the Passover. Now notice again, before the Passover. And remember, Christ is our Passover. See? Now, when will the people really, 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 and I mean really, know that Christ is their Passover? Passover lamb, the shed blood for sins, that covered the sins of David. And, hey, by the way, did you know Brother Branham said he really thought that David was the greatest person, the greatest prophet in the whole Bible? Yeah, he said that David was the greatest in the estimation. You know why? Because he was the father of Jesus, you know, in the flesh, in the type. I always thought Moses maybe was. Interesting how you find these little goodies. So, David's a big guy. And I'm happy with that. Oh, very happy for a very carnal reason. I don't think he'd do much worse than he did. I'm not aiming for this, you know, any of these bad things. I'm just saying, my God, I mean, there's hope for me. There's hope for me, yeah. Anyway, the Passover. How do you know that he's your Passover? When you see him. Right? When you're going to see him. When you're changed and go to the wedding supper. When the Spirit's amongst us, becomes incarnate to us. Now listen. When did this communion take place? Before the Passover. When do we quit taking this? We can't take it anymore. We're changed and gone. Now what about these guys that said that you don't take communion? It's even told of us we don't take communion here. Some of the churches up north, especially one I got in mind. Where'd they get those lies from? By a certain preach they've been listened to over the years. I got his sermon. I threw it away, but I can get it again. He's supposed to be preaching this message. And he tells a dream of a boy and preaches on it as though it's real. The gospel truth. I never listen. If I could take Limburger cheese, what's that stuff they make over used to make over there in Van Wert? Horrible smelling stuff. Yeah, well, if they made Limburg and they made something else over there, too. If you rub that on the exhaust of your car and turn the motor up, it would smell sweet roses alongside of some of this stuff that guy preached. I thought that Christ, the rose of Sharon crushed, brought forth a sweet odor. Do you mean to tell me the one that's crucified, we unto ourselves, this end-time church does bring forth an odor that is contrary to the Word of God? My brother, my sister, that cannot be so. To preach anything other than Brother Branham preached is heresy. That alone is vindicated. Yeah. Well, we're coming to Christ our Passover. We're already outside the camp, honey. Another couple of days, another couple of foot washings, another couple of communions, right to the marriage supper. Hell, I'm not lying to you. I could tell you something to prove I'm telling you the truth. I won't tell you. Later on, I'll tell you. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not up here making fun, brother, sister. If I did, I ought to shut up and sit down, confess my sins, and ask God to take me off the earth. No way. Now it says here, just before the Passover, the great feast coming up. We really know our Passover. He's raised from the dead. We're raised with him. Brother Branham say, hallelujah. When Jesus knew his hour was come that he should depart out of this world, and we know our hour is coming too, having loved the world, having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them unto the end. That's that love that Brother Branham spoke about. He said, now, if you really love this word, you'll sure love each other. How much word's missing somewhere? Love has a lot to do with your brother. It's just what you got in mind and how you treat the things that are there. The supper being ended, the devil put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things in his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. Now listen, that's before the Passover now. Now come on, what's God doing today? Watch. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Okay? What do we got over here? 1 Corinthians 15. Now Christ, risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all be made alive. But every man his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they are Christ at his presence. Now what then cometh the end? When he shall deliver up the kingdom to God. Now that's the end. But before then, what's happening? God is putting everything under his feet. So therefore, everything now is delivered into the hands of Jesus again at this time for the Gentile church. Oh my, if you can't see how the Bible runs in continuity, just weaves back and forth, alpha and omega, what was, is, and will be right now. Hey man, listen. We never get this except for the prophet. Nobody would know what we're talking about here this morning except a little group to please the prophet. Notice, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. What's he going to do? He's going to get off the throne pretty quick now, meet us in the air. You know what happened? This one, God incarnates himself in him. Everything's under this one's feet. You know what he does? For 3.5 years with us, he just looks down and watches him make a big mess out of things. You know what? He's in perfect control. Well, he's in control with all this going down here 3.5 years. Oh, my brother and my sister, absolutely in perfect control. He's not going to do their thing to the very end. No problem. You know something? The higher the water got under Noah, waters of tribulation, trial and all, the closer he got to heaven. The more he was in God's power, so that we're up there. Now the earth, we don't care what happens down here. We can sit at the wedding supper and just say, let them do what they want to do. Hey, man, let them go ahead. And the devil's having a heyday. Death is having a carnival. He puts his garments. Now what's he do? He girds himself. Pours water in the basin. Washes disciples' feet. Now somebody, I don't know where this guy got this from, but I just read the other day that he said this word wash here meant communion. I don't know if that rang a bell or not, so I got my concordance out. It doesn't say that. But it's a nice thought. Nice thought. Because if you wash somebody's feet, you sure are in communion with them. You're communicating. And communicating by way of the feet is very good because these were dirty feet. Like Brother Branham said, Jesus with dirty feet. But I'm looking at something different here. I'm looking at the fact that this one who was at the first wedding, yeah, right, he supplied the wine. He that was greatest of all became servant of all. Now I want to ask you one question. Can he change? And the answer is no. So he's still servant. And what's he going to do at the wedding supper? We're going to take anew with him all the things we're going to take for the first time, really, everything we really wanted. And he's going to minister to his people, even as he's doing now, spiritual food in due season. Notice pouring the water in the basin. That's something you can get your hands on, your feet into. Well, that's good, but today there's waters to carry us over. Oh, yeah. You have a little basin tonight. That's just symbolic. You know what? The first thing was the waters came to the ankles. How deep did you put your feet in those basins? Ankles. Symbolic. Ha! Here's where it started. Watch where we're going. Water's to carry. Why? People get scared of water carrying. This might carry me away. Oh, praise God, this water is going to carry the right place. It's going to from the eastern gate here to the eastern gate of the holy city itself, New Jerusalem. Oh, yes, marvelous. He pours water, washes their feet, wipes them with a towel, wherewith he was girded. I like that. The word gird has a special significance, not only of the application of a covering, but a strengthening. And I see today God strengthened, God manifesting himself greater than he ever did. For he said, he that believeth could do greater works than even these. And Brother Branham said he had more success in my ministry on earth than he had in his own. So we're seeing that right today. Now, why is he girded? The Bible speaks of this great one girding himself. You know what? You know part of that girding is? He's girding himself with his saints to come back here and take over. Oh, not that he needs us, but then again, he does need us. He wouldn't be full of us. Where would it all be without us? Where would we be without him? And the question comes, where would he be without us? It's reciprocal. This is what makes the union, the male and the female, so to speak. This is your type, bride and groom. As a body becomes the female, as it were. Then you notice how the bride of the end time produces, like Abraham and Sarah, the one coming in flesh. It takes God to come down here and liven the bride, to bring her to the days of her youth where she's pure virgin, and she will bring forth that one. Oh, yes, absolutely. As Isaac went out to meet his bride, ho, ho, he's coming down to meet his bride. Meet him in the air, clouds of glory. I feel real Pentecostal shouting, Holy Ghost, Baptist. I'd sooner have a Baptist that has a little bit of wine than a Methodist. All he knows is prohibition. He prohibits the Holy Ghost even. You don't believe that. Hey, I come through that stuff. Don't tell me I'm a Canadian by birth. Presbyterian to begin with. Went to with the Methodist. Hoy, yo, yo, talk about a hybrid. Shoo. The first political church, CCF, Christian Commonwealth Federation. Headed up by Baptist preacher Douglas in Saskatchewan. We've got some Canadians here. If you don't know the history, I'll teach it here. Huh? You bet your sweet life. You're talking an old timer. I got roots clean back to God. Oh. I better have. You better have too. Yes, sir. And Simon Peter comes along. He said, Lord, he said, you're going to wash my feet? I don't think you should. And Jesus said, what I'm doing now, you don't know, but you'll know later. I says, anybody here ever knew what Jesus was doing when he did it, except somebody explained it later? Nobody ever knew it. Now look, we're coming to Passover. We're coming to see him who is our Passover. The resurrected one, trusting in his blood, commemorating it, washing feet, type of communion, whatever you want to call it. Tonight I'm putting into the order that the little basin to the ankles signifies, hey, what started back there is a rolling river to carry us across. Not waters to swim in. No, no, no. Waters to do the dead man float you. Right across. Don't even wiggle a finger. Don't have to steer yourself. Oh, that's Seuss Lee Vale, 100%. I dream about that. Maybe I'll tell you, maybe not. I'll just say one thing about it. Hey, it's dark, but you'll get there. A little scary. But nothing's depending on whether we're brave or not, brother, sister. Depends on him. Like Brother Branham said, he told you, he said, the stabilizers are on the craft that's going over. They've been set. He didn't say, now, bless God, here's for the mill stream, here's for the palm stream, here's where it's just like the sea of glass. He said, we're going to crest every wave. Shroom, shroom, and bigger. This bark isn't going to bust a piece and go down, brother, sister, like they do in the Great Lakes and places like that where they don't figure things out. We're cresting every wave. Don't worry about the blue lagoons and everything else. We're looking for the crystal sea. Yes, sir, the tree of life. Yes, so this is very, very, very much a little tight we're talking about tonight. And so Peter said, well, he said, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, then he said, you don't have any part with me. Then Peter said, well, he said, Lord, not my feet only. Notice this guy's pretty extreme, but I like his extremity. I like how extreme it is. He said, Lord, he said, hey, he said, give me a complete bath. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. You don't need that. He that has his feet washed. Now listen, foot washing then is very, very symbolical. Now remember, the image at the end time, which is the church, starts with the feet and goes to the head. Never, never forget the stone that was laid, the foundation corner, is the one that's coming down to meet us and is called the capstone, and he's here right now in the form of the Holy Spirit, and the washing of our feet signifies we are one with those people whose feet at the time of Luther were simply up to the ankles. But I want to tell you, brother, sister, this bride signifying tonight, we're saying, Lord, we got waters to carry us on. Why, what does it mean? He's answered Peter's prayer. Oh, you say, what was Peter's prayer? Oh, I'm glad you asked me, because I wanted to tell you anyway. And it says over here in the book of Revelation, in the 22nd chapter, blessed are they who wash their robes, have the right to the tree of life. Oh, it's over here in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Where is Ephesians? Over here somewhere. I think it's before the book of Philippians, isn't it? In the 5th chapter, I think it tells us here. And it says here, oh, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives, their own bodies. Why? Because Christ loved the body and he's washed it for the presentation. You know what? We may, brother, sister, start out with a little mud in the basin tonight. Yeah. The water's to the ankles. And when it gets to the knees, the water's not so dirty. It's not so muddy. And when it gets to the thighs, oh, it looks pretty clean. Even sees our toes now and there. And pretty soon the water rises. It's crystal clear and takes us over. I believe foot washing can symbolize that tonight. All depends on how your heart is. All depends on my heart is. Let's pray. Let's rise. And before we pray, let the deacons come forward. And those that are going to play and what have you. And they will take the Lord's Supper first. And remember again, the ladies go and the men also go now. So their service is a little more efficient. Remember, there's one for the bread and two cups for the wine. Gracious Heavenly Father, we've certainly appreciated your goodness to us tonight. If we didn't have any more than just a good spirit amongst the brothers and sisters here, Lord, too. But we believe it's more than that. We believe, Lord, it's that word, the life that's in the word, as we try to come to grips with the reality of it so that there can't be any mistaking of this and that and the other thing, Lord, but just hew right to the word of the living God. And then, Lord, finding these things that are in your word to bless us, Lord, to just see the beauty and the simplicity of it all, and then come together here, Lord, for the foot washing and communion, O God, tonight. I would dearly love to have you impress in my heart and my mind, as I believe everyone would, to realize, Lord, the little water in the basin could signify the waters to the ankles. And then it went further to the knees and up to the hips, waters to swim in, and now waters to carry us over. But it just started with a little basin, with a little water. But tonight, Lord, the floodgates from your holy temple, from your holy self, Lord, flowing for the people to cleanse them and take them across. How soon? We believe it's going on now. Marvelously closing out to the end when there's a bride going to come from the dust and those here chained to meet you in the air. And now, Lord, as we remember your death, the shed blood, the broken body, remember the Passover. And it becomes significant too, Lord, because you are our Passover. We know it by the fact of you proving your resurrection amongst us by the Holy Spirit. Father, taking complete control for you, blessed Lord Jesus Christ, now on his throne. And now we're waiting to meet you. Change to be like you. You in our midst, giving praise unto the Father, not ashamed to call us brethren. Help us to be in that particular frame tonight, Lord, and let it not just be impressed by words tonight and little superficial coloring of the mind, but God, let it go right down into our hearts. Please, Lord, remove by your sacred blood the life in that blood, every ring of unbelief from our hearts tonight. That blood can soften any rock. God, let it soften our hearts tonight. So every word is a welcomed word to our hearts, and our faith spring forth like the noonday sun. We don't want to be anybody, Lord, in ourselves, or accomplish anything of ourselves, or to be in any way apart from you. We just pray, Lord, if you'd be just so kind to let your life come through ours, you can have it all. That's how we'd like it. Help us tonight to that end. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.